Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am your host for a brand new, brightly colored adventure this week. And joining me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Philip and Darren. Guys, how's it feel to be in two dimensions?
I was going to say, it's a little flat, but no, it's good. It's good to be back. Guys, you know me in the animated series. Now we have to call it the original animated series. We can't just rest
animated
on our laurels.
Animated series version 2.0.
We can just call it the old one.
Oh,
I mean, you
like the ancient
could.
West, the ancient animated.
Look, the TOS guys already get mad enough when we call it, like, you know, TOS. They're like, no, it's just Star Trek, guys. It's just Star Trek. Everything else is just different.
Now, Darren, you were sharing that you have a new microphone now. Now, is that
I
like,
do.
Be like
hopefully
a new,
I sound
that's
better.
That's not one of those Vulcan microphones, is it? It's just going to start.
Oh, it's going to make me like twitch and glitch. hopefully not, because that'd be the exact opposite of what I would want.
Yeah. Well, so we are actually, this is a momentous event that we haven't had at least 7 months of a brand new Star Trek series. So we had to bring in a friend, an old friend. He's not old, but he's a friend from the past.
A legacy welcome. Friend.
It's okay to start over with the intro, Daniel. It's totally okay.
So welcome to Drew. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to our marooned planet here.
Yes. I'm familiar with the faces, but not with the location. This is a desolate place.
Yeah. I hope you are ready to talk about this new Star Trek that we have here, because this is pretty exciting.
I am. It's,
I can't believe you took the animated Argo to come over here.
Of course I did. Off-roading, obviously.
I admit I was going to purchase that shovel illegally. I wasn't going to wait for the bureaucracy to wheel of justice turn slowly here on City Alpha 3. Let's just.
I mean, it struck me that it must suck to have to charge your shovel. Like, does it just not dig properly if you don't, you know?
I've been in Star Wars world for so long, I have to bring up vibroblades. They're better than regular blades because shake
they
or something.
Vibrate.
So yeah. maybe that's the case in Starfleet shovels.
Well, it's proprietary Starfleet technology. So once they got you hooked on their electronic shovels, then you have to go to their repair center. You have to get their warranty.
Yeah, but it just works. TM.
We'll get into it, guys. We'll get into it. I mean, we just already tried to start a tangent on the shovel. Let's start talking about the Star Trek Lower Decks first episode, Second Contact.
Great
and,
name.
I am actually, we're going to do this free form, so just whatever you guys want to talk about. But overall impressions first, I guess. And again, I don't want to structure this too heavily. So what did you guys think? I mean, this is definitely new. This is very different.
Can you remind me of all the characters' names? Because I'm still.
I was hoping everyone else knew the characters' names. I knew Nervous Guy,
Giant Bajoran.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Cyborg Guy.
Cat Doctor.
And then, like, Orion. I think it took me a while to figure out that she was an Orion. I just thought, green alien, whatever.
Yeah. Orion, you mean an Orion?
Yeah. I was using the TAS pronunciations because it's animated, Darren.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's so weird being the nerdiest person in the room anymore. It's been so long.
Now you just multiply that by a factor of three. Overall, I liked it. I got to watch it twice. I watched it once just to absorb it. And then the second time I watched with our new Lower Decks show here on the network, Second Contact, aptly named after this episode, that Char and Tristan are doing. And they do a commentary show now where they talk a little bit about their input on the show, but then they do a running commentary. And I find it was a really fun way to watch it again and kind of notice some things that I missed the first time. Because it's a very dense show. There's lots of background bits, and you can tell there's a love for Star Trek in it. But overall, I did enjoy it. I think it took me a bit to get the pace, and some of the characters I think need to be brought down to like a 9 instead of a 12. But overall, I'm looking forward to more Lower Decks. That's my two bits.
What about you, Drew? What did you think?
I have to admit, I went in with extremely low expectations, and now they've raised them to expectation.
Oh. Is that yellow alert? I don't even know what that is.
How do you write that program? It is
sure.
Expectation, comma, bracket, low, and then you take that off? No.
Something like that, yeah. I didn't have a good feeling about it. And the first half, I just rewatched it, skipped around some of the bits because I was running out of time. But I think the first half of the show is way too fast. But the second half, like where the characters start like acting like actual people, I really think that worked. Like as soon as they're facing off against the spider, and she starts, like, I was here for first contact, and I was demoted, and I've seen things. For some reason, her speech about all the things that she saw was the first time that I really, like, started laughing at the show.
Now give me the pants!
So a reminder, I have it pulled up now. So it's Mariner, Boimler, Tendi, and Rutherford. Rutherford, I remembered the first. That was the first one I clicked to memory.
What's the captain's name?
Mariner?
Was that her last name? I can't remember.
It wasn't Mariner because it was a secret.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a twist at the end. So,
yeah.
It was a twist to me. I was legitimately like, oh, well, that changes everything. Everything started making sense.
I didn't pick it up until maybe the last time she had called him in before it dropped, but it was like almost there. And I just saw that Phil LaMarr did the voice for the Admiral, so the father, I guess.
Who has to go do Admiral things.
I'm pushing the button.
Oh, he did say the name, and I can't remember now. It was like Captain Forrester, because he called her by the rank. You didn't know they were married when he first called her, but I can't remember the name now.
What'd you think, Philip?
I enjoyed it. You know.
Captain Carol Freeman.
Freeman. There we go. Yeah. Okay. I was in F. Yeah. So, like, I was like 8 out of 10, but, like, whatever. That's meaningless. But, like, I had fun. And, like, I was repeating what you've all said, and honestly, what sort of the internet's been saying, because I've never watched Rick and Morty, so I'm not familiar with his past work. But I'm told that's also a dense show visually, as far as, you know, what's going on in the background, as far as the animation and the art. And so, there you go. And then I know he did season 8, the Twitter, TNG season 8, that turned into a book later. But yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was the one who did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I had fun. Like, you know, my take is, because you all know I take Star Trek probably seriously, quote unquote. And so obviously a lot of characters here are not acting like in my serious Star Trek way that I would, you know, always feel like. But it's like a cartoon. So in some ways I just went like, you know, this is a cartoon. I'm not going to take it seriously. And so, but I had fun. I enjoyed it. It's even if it's not great at times, the jokes are Star Trek jokes. They're not just jokes. They're like, you have to know what you're talking about to make this joke and get this joke, which, I mean...
Give me honor. I need honor.
Ridges on forehead.
It's so funny.
Well, and because they're ensigns, I feel it works. Like, if this was how the bridge crew was acting, it would be way 100% over the top. But because it's these lower deck ensigns, you're like, okay, I can get behind that.
That's exactly my feelings, too, because the impression that I was getting was this is the crappiest ship in Starfleet and the crappiest part of the crew of the crappiest ship. They're a fine ship.
Yeah,
there's
it's not
nothing,
a crappy
the
ship.
The bridge crew, except it's for the first officer,
like the
has every right to be like Riker. Like, you know.
Yeah. How much flesh did I eat?
Which is voiced by O'Connell.
Yeah, Jerry O'Connell from Sliders. Yeah,
from Canceled Pilots. That's where I know him from.
His name was Jack Ransom. I mean, right. It's like Jack Action Ransom, basically. I mean, you could put that in his middle name.
So I had a question about that. Captain Ransom was from a Voyager episode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Could they possibly be related
maybe
somehow?
I don't know. It's a common enough name, but maybe.
I just thought about it. I just thought.
Everybody wants these huge cameos, and it's just going to be Captain Ransom, you know.
Like. Well, you know, and this is...
But
we
bought the original guy back. I don't care.
But, like, one of the things I've heard about, then this is...
Maybe they Nick Licardo'd him.
As long...
But like, I saw that where like, oh, bring people. I'm like, I don't. I mean, you can, but like, I kind of like this being its own thing. I mean, you know what? I'm not trying to be a cult joy. If they want to do it, they want to do it, fine. But I'm like, it's its own show. You don't have to like bring Riker back, you know, for season.
Well,
you know, I'm like,
that just could be his father, though. The timeline would kind of match a little bit if he's a younger on the younger side.
Yeah,
but yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I was just curious. I would echo a lot of what you guys said. I think the pacing was really weird, and I just chalk it up to this is a pilot with 23 minutes, and so we have to like, it just feels really weird and rushed, and like maybe you could have cut out one thing, like
the suckling went on a little long.
Yeah.
Well, and that's true. It does have a B plot. I mean, it's the planet stuff. And although it kind of happens in sequence, I guess. But, I mean, the fact that they have an A and a B in a 20-something minute show, it's
they have a C plot, too, because even though the zombie plot is the main plot, the date is a C plot, I think. So,
I think the date was my favorite plot. Like, I did not expect that.
I did not, like, if you had asked me which character do you think you'll like the best, I was like, I don't know, probably like maybe the nervous kid or something. I don't know. But Rutherford is now my guy, because I would also want to know why that door malfunctioned during a red alert.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm on board with you. I'm on Rutherford.
Why does he have a Vulcan-issued cybernetic thing that sometimes works? Like,
represses his emotions, and that's like a side
but it's not supposed to. Yeah.
It's a great bit now. I don't know if this is like, because we only get this one episode. I hope it's not like this is his character that he just jumps in and out of emotions. I hope it's just like a glitch right now because it's early on.
I don't get the feeling they're going to overplay it, but you never know.
Yeah.
It's a drinking game.
That leads into something that I wanted to bring up about modern television. Like, you get a 10-show pickup. Like, hey, I have a concept, and you get 10 episodes, like, off the bat, especially with these streamers. So you don't get, like, that pilot season very much anymore, especially with big franchises like this. So I'm wondering if Second Contact is a pilot episode where it's just, here's the characters, here's the kind of plot that we're going to do, here's the style of jokes, sorry, it's really fast, here's a whole bunch of them, have a nice day. If it's a pilot like that, I'm good with it, and I hope that it is, and that the rest of the series kind of takes a lower tone. But if this is just part one of 10, you know, in the same kind of writing style.
Are you saying, like, if they ratcheted this one up to an 11 just because it's a pilot?
Yes.
And we're not going to get an 11 for the whole next 9 episodes?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the sizzle reel for the whole season, it does look varied and interesting, mm-hmm. and I think looks to not fall prey to the same thing that Discovery and Picard have, where it's end of the universe threatening nonsense for like the whole time. We actually get, it looks like it might just be an episode of
Daniel,
fun. An episode
if there's
of
not
fun,
a drawn out mystery in this season, I mean, why are we even watching this thing?
And I feel like at the end, like I enjoyed all four of the main characters. It took the whole episode for some, because like Boimler, I had to warm up to him because I really don't want like a snivelly guy the entire time, but he actually has a backbone and he actually like a view of the senior staff actually changed by the end of the episode, and Mariner, I needed her to come down to like a 9 for me, like that was a lot. But again, I feel like the pairings, like already we have a pairing between them in the command division, and we have kind of the pairing with like Tendi and Rutherford, and I think the dynamic is going to bounce off between these four so well that I'm excited. I want more.
I was watching, because I watched it twice too, like I said, but there's the scene at the end when, I don't even know the guy, nervous guy, I can't say that last name.
Boimler.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Just point to me and I'll say
where
that's okay, the captain couldn't get it either.
Yeah, that's right. This is just Moneyball, I'm just going to keep
Boycott.
On pointing at you.
Boimler, broccoli.
Bum, whatever it was he called me at.
But like in that ready room scene, there's a line reading, and I watched it twice, and I still don't know if he meant it straight as what he was saying, or if he was trying to like poke the captain, where he's like, I don't know, I think the slime that saved all the ship kind of rests with my memory. I don't know if that was kind of like a cough, 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 or if that was just like my clever lie. But I just thought that was
I feel like it was him looking for more acknowledgement for saving the ship.
Are you going to acknowledge the fact that I led to this ship being saved because you've given zero of that?
He didn't make it that
long. Well, even the doctor, the best character somehow. I don't know how Mike called that immediately, but Mike Schindler got that down, that she's going to, that they're going to be the best character.
Crotchetication.
Right, and it's like, no, he's worthless. It's the slime.
Very sweary.
Yes.
Which is fine. I mean,
I like that they beeped
it. Has a precedence.
Yeah, I'm sure McCoy would have sworn if...
he did. He did, kind of.
Haven't people said it's like McCoy and Pulaski joined into a cat person, basically? It basically is that.
I'm sure she has a heart of gold or here. I don't know.
Well, and I feel like we got just enough of the senior crew that, like, they're there, and you get a tone, you get a feel for the tone of the ship, but it's obviously, I mean, they don't overdo it where it's like, okay, the focus is definitely not on these characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't see the mission briefing. We don't see the action report. I love when Boimler first shows up on the bridge and, like, the audio changes. And it's like he's all sweaty and he's nervous and he, like, everything's kind of muffled and he can't hear. And it's like, Edson, what are you doing here? And it's like, boy, chill, dude. It's like, obviously he didn't just walk onto the bridge for no reason, but I guess you thought he did.
Lower decks.
When I heard the plot summary for Discovery, this is not this specifically, but like
this is what you thought it was going to be.
The fact that she wasn't a captain, like I was hoping that it was going to be more of a Lower Decks thing, and she wasn't going to be the most important person in the universe. But of course, she is. But
surprise!
Both seasons for separate reasons. She's the most important. Anyways, that's not
right. Even if they, like, leak into the higher decks, like, it's still, they look like they could be interesting characters.
It's all boring up there.
Yeah, everything above here, but down here.
Now, Darren, I shout out to you because of where you live, and I know the call or the way it is. I noticed in the ready room, because I was trying to look the second time I
the
watched
flag?
It. Yes, mm-hmm. She has the old California flag.
I noticed that, too. Yeah, there's, like, a tattered California flag on her wall, which, because it's the California class, and the Cerritos is this it's like this blip of a city in California. Like, it is not well known for much of anything. I think it has, like, an auto mall, and a lot of us watched and saw, like, ads for the auto mall. That's what I know it from. But I also noticed that the shuttles, when they came in, they were all, like, national parks or
trees.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or trees,
yeah.
It was like
Joshua Tree.
Well but Joshua Tree is also...
Joshua Tree, Death Valley.
But Joshua Tree is a park.
Is it?
Joshua Tree is actually a park, actually.
Okay.
It's nearer to where I am.
Oh, awesome.
But, again, it's like, okay, Starfleet, you're on brand.
Are they all California parks?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are all California parks.
Boimler. Was also from California, but I didn't recognize the...
California. I was born there.
Can we talk about the intro? Because like when we were talking about this is the worst.
Some people said it was. Can we start with the music? Because I need to listen to it again. I did not feel anything came out. It felt like someone was trying to make I kept feeling like the Orville intro.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's music, but it personally it didn't jump out to me. I can't hum it.
Right.
You've only seen it once.
Yeah.
I'd say give it.
That's true. I think I just need to give it time. But what were you saying, Philip, about like the visuals?
I was just going to, you know, with the whole about like, oh, this is, you know, the scene. I have suspicions the senior crew is probably not that great either. But just like, you know, they're crashing into ice parts of the planet.
My favorite is the Romulans and the Borg fighting.
No,
and they just,
Borg.
And there's no threat. Which, granted, like, it's not a bad call. It's like, let's just let them deal with that.
I also chuckled in the intro when there was like a space jellyfish or whatever hanging off the
like
back.
Like suckling off the nacelle.
Because you had like this hero thing of like, oh, it's the ship. Oh, okay.
Okay, guys, you know I'm going to bring it up. Red and green lights bugging me, guys. It's bugging me.
Are they backwards?
So, no, it's weird. So, as I've said many times on this podcast, red and green running lights are for, you know, like port and starboard. But on the saucer, there's like several sets around the perimeter,
which makes
no sense. So it's like on the front, yeah, you have a red and a green, and then there's the red and the green on the cells. But then there's like three more pairs around, and I'm like, does the saucer like pizza pie out? Piece, like,
Darren, are you telling me they may have a saucer that spins? Because that would just be
really
I'm
cool.
saying they That's have too a. Much. I think they have too a saucer much. That Cancel. Splits into like pizza slices. Is what it looks like to me.
We haven't seen. Well, you know, they tease us. We don't know what attack. You know, maneuver
attack pattern
88 is. So, you know.
Well, no, but there was the other one that he's the where. Shrax was like, well, let's do this. He's like, Sulu won. He's like, oh, man.
So, Daniel, have we found a Bajoran that you'll finally be able to like?
He does. He definitely bucks
like when
the
he pushes
I say
like,
we
the
blow up the
one.
What?
No.
Oh,
I was so thinking of Darren where they're on the holodeck. What's your favorite place? We go, the Warp Core.
Yeah. That was funny. Yeah, well, I like Trax too when he's just like, again, he's like pushing through that bulkhead, and it's—I mean, he's bordering on Kingpin from Spider-Verse like levels of proportion.
He's so big. Yeah.
He's so big. But right, well, anyway,
before we move on, because I want to talk about the Cerritos and I want to talk about the design elements, because obviously the man is a very big TNG fan, and
it's basically a TNG saucer.
It's just like the same saucer section. Yeah. The sound design with all the consoles, everything, you know, the corridor design, the holodeck, everything is literally just ripped straight from TNG, which is, of course, you know, for us is a delight, but I just wanted to know what you guys thought about it. I loved the corridor where the lower decks sleep.
Yep.
I'm like, that's awesome that they turned the corridor into an actual just bunk for everybody. I thought that was great, but what did you guys think of all that sort of stuff?
There was a couple spots I'd noticed some non-TNG, like when she first comes into the shuttle bay and they have that big Starfleet logo that's high up. That kind of reminded me of the 2009 movies. I think they have that in one of the bays. And obviously a lot of transparent, you know, aluminum. I'm pretty sure, do we see on the bridge the view screen?
Yes.
Is it the standard, like, non-window view screen? I'm pretty sure it is, but I have to watch again. But I liked all the TNG references. It was very, the L-cars, you know, it was familiar. And the uniforms are obviously slightly different, but they definitely have a TNG
The
flavor.
Phasers, the little packs that they carried on when they were going down to the away mission.
Well, and then when they beam sort of down, stuff. There's the pattern enhancers.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
All the checking out.
Check it. Gordanians.
Well, they have to check the spelling in second contact. So
the Argo, of course.
Oh, yeah, the Argo driving around. Don't stun her. You spoiled the milk. See? See? I think, honestly, if I don't say anything except the fact that it's a quotable show,
yes.
And I think that shows a lot. Like, there's been many shows that try to be comedies, and you talk about it. And you watch it, and you're like, I can't remember a single line. Like, it was not, you know, but we're quoting this left, right, and center.
My favorite line for some reason is, you ever been in a sentient cave? That's a dark place that knows things.
It's great wordplay. Oh, but I like subverting the humor and still capturing the awe, like that moment when Green Girl or Green Woman is, you know, looks
Tendi.
At the bunk beds, but then you see her turn the perspective of seeing the aft view at warp, and you're like,
which looks beautiful,
yeah. And so, you know, even though this is a funny show, I mean, that's her character so far, is the plucky ensign.
She's the new girl, like,
yeah.
Right.
which is really is a great character, and
I gotta
and
touch
Rutherford.
A heart.
Yeah, I get you. And I love that moment in the end where Rutherford's like, he's talking about his date, and he's like, no, we're not gonna see each other. And she's like, why? He's like, well, she wasn't interested in this level 2 diagnostic, which, and she's like, what? And I mean, we all see where it's going, so it's not really but half a beat. And she's like, that's crazy. And she's on his side, and you can like, okay, these people are gonna get along
Nerds.
Just fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, the date C plot was just so. They're walking on the hole, you know. They're
let's go
you know,
for
and
a
they're
walk,
just, and they're just skipping along, and like you see through the windows, like carnage and death, and it's just like la la la.
Yeah, I liked the TNG elements that it had. It does go to show that the whole. Man, you know, this modern Star Trek's got to be 25% different, or they have to pay royalties to some invisible person. Like, this is 98% TNG. I mean, like, they better be paying, like, Mike Okuda money for, you know, all that.
Well, I mean, in the very
screens end,
she literally starts listing characters. Right. Like, boy, Deanna Troi, that,
you know,
girl,
Gary
she
Mitchell,
went from...
I could look him up.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, like, and we'll get into criticisms a bit later, but that part, man, it's, I laughed twice so hard when she called him Chadich.
Yes, Chadich. You're my Chadich.
But then she starts, like, name dropping all these characters.
Like, the joke was done, and she
it's
took
over.
It, like, yeah.
You well, don't need, like, Deanna Troi? How are you going to know who Deanna Troi is? Like,
do you hear
crazy.
The rest of that line? Deanna Troi, you know, she went from a jumpsuit to...
Yeah.
Well, Philip, I have a question for you. Did your wife Jessica watch this?
She did.
With
she
you.
Did.
I'm just curious because like Drew was saying, a lot of these jokes are Star Trek jokes. So I'm kind of curious, did she feel, cuz I know she's not as big of a Trekkie and it's not like she knows the encyclopedic knowledge that the four of us combined have. So I'm just curious, did the jokes hit for her or maybe in a different way?
Well, see, the lucky thing is I'm there to explain it to her. So I just put my arm over her and I say,
"Be like, Chadich, that's
funny.
What this is."
Yeah. Here, let's like, watch Sins of the
Father. Mr. Philip, summarize, please.
No, but she enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, and she said she liked it.
That's
my
good
girlfriend
to know.
Laughed really hard at the part when he turns the holodeck into the warp core, because that was his favorite place to be.
It's like so nerdy. Yeah.
My wife,
it's like it's right over there, man. Just
yeah,
my wife didn't have the biggest laugh, but when it did turn into the all nude Olympic training,
that's a universal joke.
And that's very true. Detailed. They not every single one of their jokes you had to have a memory alpha pulled up to get. You know, they obviously weren't that.
Yeah,
but
like the
you definitely had a lot of payoff.
Milk. You don't have to know right. what phasers are.
And that was funny because she didn't know, but then right. it turned out to be true. So,
now, Drew, did you watch it with your wife?
I did not because I did not because I had such a negative pre-opinion. I was okay. just like, you want to watch this stupid
expectations.
Star Trek cartoon? And she's like, no. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it hit in a lot of fun ways. And... If every episode was at least this good, I think we'd be set for 10 episodes. Like I tried to go in with moderate expectations. You know, I like Rick and Morty. I didn't want to see a direct Rick and Morty level jokes like parlay straight into Star Trek because I don't think that would have worked, and I don't think that's what they did. But I think at its core, you could tell that they love Star Trek, like, and they know. What that Star Trek can be funny, you know, Mr. Tricorder and, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff.
Joke.
Like Star Trek has a lot of humor in it. But
a lot of failed attempts at humor, but
that's
also humor.
True. Joe Piscopo and, you know.
Well, to be fair, I would rate this episode for me at like a 50% success rate or so in terms of the jokes. I'd say a lot of them
which is
were very good, mm-hmm. and a lot of them were just kind of groaners, which is fine. Like if you pace it right and
it's
the
like
jokes.
A, yeah, Simpsons or an American Dad or a Family
You don't need
guy,
100% to hit.
And,
but,
yeah,
exactly. And so so even the groaners are like, if they just come by and they just wash over you and you're whatever, you're over, it doesn't matter. You know, by the time you're paying attention again, there's a decent joke there. So it's... It's,
like the doctors, like just tie them together. They're not going to infect each other again. It's yeah. Like, well, you're not wrong.
So. And I also love. It's almost like under your breath jokes that I also because again, yeah. there's layers to this. So like when they're giving the tour and Nervous Guy is giving like the commentary, but you can't really hear him unless you're listening to him. Or he's like, no, that's actually a very important. No, that's the
your process. Like, there's a yeah, door that doesn't go anywhere important. No, that's a battle bridge. That's really important. Like, yeah, no, it's.
And I went there. I tweeted this. You know, Star Trek is terrible merchandise, which we always know. But I thought it was going to change, but it hasn't. So, but like, you know, like I saw like, oh, there's like the t-shirt down now. I'm like, I don't care. What I would love for Star Trek Lower Decks, give out that or sell that poster of that LC of the
Master
layout.
Systems display.
Yeah, that is awesome. I would totally get that in a second because I love that. I'm looking at you, Oberth class. They show that it's just one turbo lift shaft.
all the way down.
That's not all that does.
Well, I'm kind of surprised that they're not on
the little bit.
The little bit.
I thought they were.
Where the deflector is, because that's like technically there's a lower deck than you are, guys. But maybe nobody lives there. Maybe that's just the.
That's gonna be an episode.
It might be like a joke. It might be
an episode where they go to the lowest.
Someone crawls up from like the sewer and they're like, "Come with me to the dark depths of the ship."
One of us.
Yeah.
That'd actually be pretty funny.
Or what's that meme where it's like amateurs or something? So like, oh yeah, we're the lowest deck, and then one like they're at the 10 forward, and someone turns around and goes, amateurs, let me tell you. Let me take you to the depths of this ship that no one has ever returned from.
I also like that they gave, I mean, I know this is stupid to say, oh, they gave them all jobs. Of course you would. But I mean, you know, they care about this. I like, you kind of know what everyone's job is, like, you know, replicator repair, you know, all that stuff. And I also like they answered, or they addressed something, because Darren, one of y'all, have always wondered, like, command, what does that mean when you're, like, have no rank? What does it mean you're in command? And so I just, like,
True. If you're on the command track, but you're not on the bridge, what do you do?
I've never met a commander
apparently,
before.
Whatever, you're told. Yeah.
Speaking of that replicator.
The hot banana.
Hot banana.
I don't know why hot banana was so funny to you, but I just thought that was hilarious. It just kept spitting them out. Oh, man, that was great.
Do they break down a lot? Only when you get food in them.
I feel like that's such a joke.
Yeah. Well, and like, again, like the first time we see Mariner, where she's doing her like 100 mile an hour like spiel of, and she's drunk and she's got like this crate full of stuff. And it's like, that's where I feel like, yeah, like 50% of that hit. But they're throwing so much at you that, you know. And again, like, even after she cuts into him with the Batleth, which also the fact that she says she gets the Batleth from a one-eyed Klingon. And
with
like,
an eye patch.
I'm like, well, we only know a couple of one-eyed Klingons. So are you saying you got that from General Chang?
Who died 80 years before you were born?
Yeah. Could have been Martok.
Well, that's true. It could have been Martok. That's true.
Well, there's spoilers for the sizzle reel, but there's a one-eyed Klingon in the sizzle.
And
reel.
We see
why does his name sound familiar?
Because it has a comma.
Oh, that's
an apostrophe in it.
Oh yeah, that was funny. The apostrophe joke. Yeah.
The alien sightings, and a lot of this is. Trek Corps is helping, but even watching it a couple times, that all the aliens that you see in the background, like they had a Benzite, they had just ones that we've seen that never, you know, get much glory.
There's a Bolian, mm-hmm. and in the sizzle reel we saw an Arax species. I don't know the three-legged, three-armed from the animated series, which that's a fun call.
Older. We also saw some Borg.
The older animated series, Darren, you mean?
Whatever we're calling
the old
it. TOAS. Yeah.
The original animated series? Yeah, I like it.
But, yeah, I think it'll be... And, again, I remember going into this thinking... Because, you know, in the trailer we had seen, like, a lot of the infection and stuff. And I remember remarking that that's an interesting way to go because in animation that's very easy. I mean, think of the makeup cost to turn your entire crew... And it was a large crew. Like, we saw people everywhere, you know. So I'm just saying that they leaned into, oh, we could do this kind of a story really well in animation. Like, it's not cost prohibitive. So I'm interested to see, you know, what we get. Like, we got all sorts of areas of the ship and, you know, the planet. And
main shuttle base.
I'm
the
really
first
excited.
Scene, guys.
first, 3 seconds, yeah. So I want to see all of it. You know, I want to see the phaser range. I want to see, you know, Cetacean Ops. Let's go to Cetacean Ops, guys.
They'll never. I hope that that's a running joke that he constantly.
They never actually go there.
You never actually go there.
Or they just open a door and it's just like a flooded tube, and they see like the dolphins swim by, but they can't go in there because that's not for them. And they're like, well,
it's on too high of a deck.
Yeah, they don't want to go there. It's not fun.
They're outranged by the dolphin.
Is there another tube going down? So you have the turbo lift tube and then the water tube going down to the lower.
It's actually
deck.
A water slide. It's actually
one of the jokes. One of the moments that I groaned at was the monkeys bit.
Oh, it's funny because I think it's maybe.
Remember that bit.
It's a generational thing. It's when they're walking on the ship, and he's like, "Yo, what kind of music are you into?"
talking about music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's a generation.
Not the actual monkeys, the musical.
The monkeys,
it's
the band.
It's a boomer. Just,
the monkeys, the band.
I know, I know two boomers who enjoyed that. Especially because he said, I was in my Star Trek fan club yesterday, Zoom meeting, and I was talking with a woman and her boyfriend. He was kind of like, oh, I don't know. And then when he got the monkeys reference, because he's actually like seen the monkeys in person, and so that hooked him. So
I wonder if that's such a meta reference that we don't get it, you know, because they brought in Chekhov and gave him a monkey's hair.
You're right. I just thought of that when you said that. That they purposely brought him in because he looked like the hot new thing that everyone was into right then.
Was she a Trill?
I thought so. Why
the date? She looked like a Trill.
But her dad's a cyborg, so there you go.
I guess you could be a cyborg Trill. Why not?
That's right.
I mean, you don't have to be the special joined ones, right?
That's true. That's right. Yeah, you could just
could be
yeah,
a
you could just be a regular android. Old Trill.
So, like, it's now a cool thing to be a cyborg? Is that?
I don't know.
So there's a joke. I don't know if I didn't get it or... So it's like, yeah, explain a joke.
That's the part of the show where we explain jokes to
each other. Exactly. So the part where he's like, nervous guy is like, wait a minute, it's just sucking on my uniform. Why isn't it attacking yours? Why wasn't it attacking hers?
Oh, I don't think that's a joke. I think it's just
the fact that her plan was supposed to work, but he's like, if we hadn't done this, I would have taken the brunt of the fall. I think that's what I got from it. It's like your great plan to save us. Like I'm the one that was in more danger. Yeah.
Why don't we wait until it attacks your uniform?
Well, I think he didn't want to go up to the ship in his underwear by himself.
Oh,
at that point.
No, I think like what you're saying, Philip. Like
yeah, they're sitting
she's
in
like,
the tree.
She's like, let's jump and attack it. And he's like, no, it's attacking my uniform more. Meaning, if I attack it, it's going to attack me more.
Yeah. I see. Yeah. I can see that.
But, I mean, the fact that we have to explain it means it's not funny.
I don't think it was a joke so much as a plot point.
It just likes sky moisture, apparently.
Right.
I was a little surprised not to get into this level of detail, but I'm gonna. Their underwear, that wasn't blue. I mean, I thought that was standard
issue. It was like beige.
Starfleet, you know.
Yeah, it was much more boring. Blue underwear would have been more spacey.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. One thing I do really like... And you kind of touched on this earlier, Philip, is it feels like even though it's mostly silly and dumb, it feels like still hopeful and like optimistic, and it's not like the end of the universe.
They don't hate Starfleet. They don't hate their jobs. They
just one of them. But it's
she doesn't even hate her
job. I need honor.
No, I love it's such I can never do it because I mean in my opinion it's a good woman line, but maybe I'm just being sexist, but like the when he's like, but you also say that, she's like, I'm complicated, thank you.
Yeah, about how for somebody who doesn't care about rank, you sure talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and her whole connection to the captain and that admiral, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting story, like all the five other ships she's been on. Yet, and you know, did she get bounced back to Ensign every time? Has she climbed up the ladder several times?
Did she get Tom Paris'd?
Yeah.
So I am absolutely going to give Lower Decks a bigger berth in terms of, like, believability and stuff than you would normal Star Trek. But I'm like, I was still like... You can't serve on your mom's ship, man. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like something that you'd be allowed to do.
You don't think Wesley Crusher served on the Pasteur?
Wesley.
Yeah, my girlfriend brought that up, and I was like, that doesn't really count.
Well, but, I mean, they obviously set her up as this, you know, quote-unquote problem officer, that the only reason she's still in Starfleet is her dad is an admiral and her mom is a captain, so... They're like, okay, and now it's her turn to be back on her mom's ship, and the mom doesn't want her there.
Just send her to the brig. She loves the brig.
She loves the brig.
I love that line, because I'm like, what does she love about the brig? What is, you just
I think because it sticks it to the man, and that's
her
big
thing.
It's kind
of like sending someone to your room, and you're like, fine, that's where I have books.
Right. Fine, I don't. I get to stay on a starship, and I don't have to work. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, she's an interesting character, and I think definitely the most multi-layered character that we see on the show. And I'm sure we'll dig well into all of this sort of stuff. But I like the idea. She's still trying to help people. Like, she's still out there trying to do the right thing.
She's outside of the Starfleet bureaucracy.
Exactly.
But she's, which is obviously just insecurity. Like, she's just projecting that obviously she cares a great deal. I love the line too, where they're in sick bay, and I can't remember what she says, but she says something to her mom, and you don't know it's her mom yet. But she says something
along
the lines.
Oh, wash your hands,
mom.
Or wash your
hands. Oh, yeah, wash your hands. You didn't think about washing your hands, did you? Yeah.
Because the doctor's like, it's almost, and I don't know, I'm probably projecting so much onto this, like, 5 seconds, but it's such a, like, every Star Trek episode, it's like you always have the contagion, and they're like, 9/10 or 3/4 away through the episode, the captain's the last person to get it every time, and they're just starting to get. And that's why, like, Doctor's like, "Oh, captain, you know, you don't have much time either." And I'm just like, "That's such a trope in Trek." That, you know,
I like that Boimler has been to 5 planets, counting Vulcan. Can't count Vulcan.
Of course, nobody counts boring ass Vulcan.
That's like counting Earth.
He's like, counting. I was counting Earth. Which means he's been to 3 planets.
Yep.
Counting that
three
one.
Cool planets. Yeah, counting that one. Yeah. That was a joke that, like,
no one counts, they
nailed.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a very Star Trek joke for sure.
Part of me is kind of worried that normally if this was like on a network, I would be like, this is just for us. Like, these jokes are just for people like us. Like, don't they want other people to watch? And then it's kind of like, no, not on a streaming service like this, not on your third show on the streaming service.
This is, we want to keep you subscribing between our other shows. So
right. It's a cheap show that's made only for us. And it, you know, it caused me to resubscribe how many ever months before Disco picks back up. So, like,
oh.
It got
like, not same for me. Same for me.
Disco season 3.
I'm on my second 1 month free tour with a new email address, and we'll see how that goes.
Demoted? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, that's.
I've subscribed 5 times. No, I'm not counting that other time.
Nobody counts the first 30 days.
Nobody counts the trial.
Nobody counts the trial.
I'm like in the same boat where it's the show, even if it's like it stays at this quality, then at worst, it's just kind of a dumb distraction. It's kind of a dumb, you know, 20 minutes to spend every week and you have a good time. And that's the, like you said, with lowered expectations, that's kind of what I expected. But I can also see a potential for more. And not that I think that it's going to be the most groundbreaking or...
Are we
going to
get the moral episodes or something like that?
Right, but you could definitely fit that stuff in here.
You could.
And still have it be fun. So I hope that it sets this as the base and like tries to reach for more. But again, like we said, if this is it, then I'm fine with
that. You hope that it's a pilot and not part
exactly.
one.
Yeah, exactly.
Unlike the season 1 pilot of Discovery, that was the whole season, that was the pilot. For the whole show.
Well, it was and I don't mean to pick listeners. I don't mean to pick a Discovery. We're just having fun. But like, I was in my Star Trek fan club yesterday, and we were having a trivia. I wrote the questions because you know what I do. But anyway, we were talking about.
I'm shocked, Phil.
I know. And we got into like who's the captain of the Discovery in season 1. But anyway, all that's to say, I was like, I had to remind people, like, because they're like, oh, wasn't it Georgiou? I'm like, no. You have to remember, Discovery is the show where the ship that's called by the name of the series doesn't show up until episode 3. That's how we do pilots now.
That was part one, exactly. that's part of the problem.
Well, it's, you know, the thousand day
pilot.
pilot, you know, between Lower Decks and Lower Decks.
So we've gotten 45 minutes into this and we haven't brought up the Orville. Like,
you talk about the
music. I mean, I did say like the intro reminded me of
yes,
it.
That's
like,
true.
It, but yeah, I haven't.
The Orville to me, especially because it was on a network, I ask the question all the time: who is this for?
Well, it was.
Like, right? That's what I mean.
I'm kidding, it was on a network.
I'm kidding. Because it's Hulu. It's the third season. So even if it got renewed, it wouldn't be on a network. Anyway, it's all rumors for those in the future. I don't subscribe to rumors, but. It's a good album. Anyway.
Smash that subscribe button.
Smash that like button. To me, I couldn't figure out who the Orville was for because it had the Star Trek kind of jokes, but it also had the dumb Family Guy jokes. And like, I felt like it couldn't find its place, really. But I feel like Lower Decks, because it's doubling down on, this is Star Trek and there's jokes. Like, it's not like we're going to be, I mean, there was that whole episode of the Orville that was literally a Deep Space Nine episode with dick jokes. Like, who's that for? Because we've seen that episode. Like,
but now you've seen it with the Orville characters.
Right. So I just never,
well,
got
to be
Orville,
fair, there is one
feel...
Deep Space Nine character in there, so I can see how it...
That's true.
Well, Penny from...
Penny.
Cassidy,
yeah.
Cassidy Yates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is like the part where like we're supposed to complain about Lower Decks, but I really don't have any, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Like I said before, the humor mostly hits, but it's just as many misses. That's, of course, a personal thing. It's not... They can do what they can do, but the pacing was just too much. There was just too much for this tiny episode, and I hope it's not all at this breakneck speed. I hope like they don't have three plots per every 23-minute episode. Just cut it down to two, and that's fine. Like, maybe you could even handle that, because even in this story,
I think they had to introduce so many people, though. Like, it's
yeah,
the pilot,
yeah, for sure.
So
for sure. But like in this story, like there's a whole zombie plot that matters not to really anything. Just back
ransom bit a guy.
Right, and but to people in the lower decks, it wouldn't matter.
Right. I feel that, you know, this show, it's smart because it knows what it is. And again, we're seeing the types of stories that we wouldn't want to see with our main bridge crew. Like, if our main bridge crew did half the things that we're seeing these characters do, we'd be like, either A, that's super boring, these mundane tasks, or B, like, I don't want the captain to be doing that. Like, already, you know, they're playing it on the edge, but like, yeah, the senior staff are kind of jerks, you know, and we don't want to see our Starfleet captains act like that. You know, we want to see them take the moral high ground, but it is more interesting, you know, telling it this way. So I think we're going to get a lot of interesting types of stories with that, you know, with Mariner bucking the system more and jumping in feet first when she shouldn't, you know, or ending up in Klingon prison, apparently, I think is where we're headed. At
just
because
that guy was a dick.
I had to fight a Yeti for my own shoes. I don't know why. That speech just, that's what got me.
Well, Daniel, it was interesting when you were talking about its pace. I almost wonder if in this era, because it is a streaming show, it's not like, oh, if you miss it on channel 10 at 12, then you're done. Like, that's it. So I wonder if they almost feel like they can go that pace because they know you could just rewatch the episode to absorb it, which is what we all did. Hmm. I'm not saying you want to lean on that crutch the entire time, but it's a factor in this world. Rewatching and re-quoting and pulling the sound bites, like, it's all at your fingertips. So you could actually leverage that.
That would be crazy. I could understand, you know, this is the 21st century. It's 2020. We all know how things work. That could actually be, it may not be, but that could be an approach. You're like, we know Star Trek fans. It's on streaming. We're going to have it so dense, so they're going to watch it five times in a row. And I'd be like, I buy that. That sounds like something people would do because I did it.
And again, not that they're hanging the entire premise on you have to rewatch it to get it, but like you said, that second dense layer of jokes or the fastest parts, like, they know, like, well, they'll just watch it again. And we did. They're absolutely
well,
right.
Yeah, I mean, as Star Trek fans, we rewatch, like, to the end of time. We will rewatch episodes eight trillion, bazillion, gajillion times. And that's fine. And I like that. I like the fact that, at least in this first episode, we do get that aspect of it. But somebody was talking about Rick and Morty before, and Rick and Morty, while being super hilarious, is also dense because of the ideas that it's presenting. It's usually some sort of heavy sci-fi concept, or
and it has to reestablish the universe, though. That's the big difference, whereas Star Trek doesn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I hope that it moves in that direction as well. Mm. I mean, there's a trillion different reasons Rick and Morty works, and it's a brilliant show. I can't remember how the first episode was. I'm curious if it is this along this same sort of lines, but I do see a lot of potential in Lower Decks, and they could. I just hope it's not always going to be dumb jokes.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I can see the risk for what I would consider dumb jokes, like the Orville. Like, to me, Orville was always kind of that same, like you mentioned, Family Guy humor, Drew.
It kind of slowly moved out of it. I did. But I think season still two was there.
I mean, you didn't, people do what they want. If you were turned off by first season Orville, I strongly recommend the second season. Because actually, at the end of the first season, like the last or two episodes, they really got. Mm-hmm. I mean, people died, you know. Like, yeah, so, like, I recommend it.
No, then I felt that Orville lost what made it unique. Like, as much as I didn't like the stupid
jokes. Then it
became
TNG
with a different name, exactly. And straight Deep Space Nine episodes. So it's like...
See, I gave Orville a bit more, I guess, leeway. Like, I agree, Drew. I think it did change more into TNG Light or whatever, but by then, I was invested in the characters, and I was interested in how Captain Mercer was going to deal with this situation, and how, you know, Isaac, you know, like, it was just shade enough different for me to be like, okay, well, tell me this story with Robert Picardo as a guest actor, you know.
God, that was a really... Anyway, sorry. This is a normal podcast.
And,
that was like
and
a
Billy's
scary
like,
episode for a second. Like, that was like...
I was
watching the episode. I'm like, this is like a thriller, like, Silence of the Lambs episode that's, like, scaring the crap out of
and
me.
And that's when
like,
I started yelling at my
the call comes from inside
screen.
The compound. Yeah.
That's when I started yelling at my screen, figure out what you want to be, Orville.
True. It did take some time for Orville to find that. And I don't know if... I mean, we have one sample for Lower Decks. Like, is that the tone we're going to get the entire 10 episodes? Like, we don't know. But it's what the tone they wanted to put forth for the pilot.
Yeah, and one thing... I can talk forever, I guess. But, like, one thing I really like that we've talked about is that this is rewatchable. And I'm doing it again. I'm obviously critiquing other series when I say this. When it's just about, like, a hidden mystery, and then when you know it, you're not going to watch that episode again. Yeah. I mean, and so, this one...
We have the titles back, too.
Yeah. And so, this oh, yeah. I just enjoy rewatchability. I think, you know, that's one thing I like about this. So I'm looking forward to
And I feel
to
at the end of this season, I'm going to remember, Second Contact. That was the one where this happened. Mm-hmm. Like,
they made Second
I feel,
Contact.
What? Leave not, right. Lest ye know the lambs cry.
No. But like one. Philip says, we don't, you know, we're not to rag on Discovery.
Yeah, sorry,
which
people.
We are,
if you like Discovery, we don't want to.
But you're right though. It's a more episodic tone, at least. Like there's many episodes of Discovery where either A, you have to watch it in order, or it doesn't really
even
work.
Picard. So like we can be even every
yeah,
even
and Picard
to an
too.
Extent. There's some episodes that be like, okay.
But there's like I remember like the middle of season one of Discovery where I'm like these three episodes are it's just the story. It's like there's not – I'm not going to pop it in and be like, I want to watch that episode. It's like if you're going to watch it, you're going to watch it all because there's no point in popping in. Again, that's a different tone and a different style, and that's okay. But for Lower Decks, yeah, it's – I feel like it's going to hit that balance maybe more like DS9 did where like DS9 had the big arc. And the big arc I think for these are going to be – the friendships of the characters, but we're still going to remember the time that they fought the Borg and the time that they, you know, were riding a shuttle and time they had second contact. Like those are the missions that we remember.
Mm-hmm. Just for the previews, I really do want to know how the shuttle just starts floating and just crashes.
Like you didn't
things.
Have the parking brake on or something.
Oh God, they're going to bill me for that.
I think that maybe this show is a perfect streaming show. Like, it's what all streaming, I mean, we're all getting all streaming. I mean, I've, you know, had cable in years, but like, maybe this
on
is
demand.
The future. On demand, specific content, specifically for the four of us. Like,
no, it's true. It's niche
You're
content.
You're not catering
we know
to white
is.
Men enough is what we're saying.
No, no, but like, you could cater to specific, you know, type of people. Because you can afford to, and they'll watch it, you know, because it's there in streaming. I feel like maybe this is the future. like, hey, you think that this is too, you know, dark? Here's a show that, you know, is light and fun, and the jokes are all Star Trek jokes, and, you know, you have to know what a warp core is in episode one for this joke.
Awesome.
And
here's a meta link at the bottom to Memory Alpha, so if you need any help and references, it's right there.
I would love that the Memory Alpha summary for every Lower Decks episode is just nothing but hyperlinks.
Nothing but
every line is hyperlink.
You know, I will say that I think that to me was a big deal, was that after Discovery and Picard was the total difference.
Yeah.
It did. It really made a difference. And
that was not a sigh of, I hate this. That was a sigh of like, can we just have a joke now?
Yeah, this is some breathing time, right? So, and obviously we're going to get Discovery again right after this, you know, after this season. But I'm glad. Like you're talking about, Drew, I'm just glad that they're diversifying, mm-hmm. because we had two very serialized, very heavy, very depressing in a lot of ways, tonally shows. And now we have something that's like, here, have a nice, cold, refreshing glass of water.
Have a brownie and a Coke now. Yeah.
And maybe
it just feels.
And maybe Strange New Worlds would be that for live action. Like, all kinds of different.
I could see that happening.
And they're doing it. You know, people give CBS a lot of crap, but
they're selling it. They don't even know what they have, and
then once you've been brought up by Strange New Worlds, Section 31 will come out, and you'll come back down, and you know,
that's never going to happen. The New Mutants of Star Trek. That's never coming out.
Well, like you said, Drew, I mean, with the hyper focus of this show, and I think we all kind of agree, like, this, it's not its entire intent, but definitely a major part of its creation is to have the Star Trek fans that already subscribed stay subscribed on the in-between time between other Trek shows. Like, we all know it, you know, we're not offended by it, but it's what
definitely
it is.
A better idea than Short Treks, and probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I would assume it's much cheaper.
I mean, you gotta pay for those tribbles. Ugh, man, it's not cheap.
So we've already talked for twice the length of the episode, but I will. I just want to leave it open. Everybody can talk. Say one more thing, one more closing thought. I'm going to bring something up, and then I'll let you guys go loose, and then we'll close it out. We hear that Romulan whiskey is illegal.
Everything Romulan?
Yes. Apparently, all of their alcohol is just like double, you know,
against regulation.
Somehow 250 proof. Like, somehow
it's the
more
joke that
alcohol.
They won't let go, even if the galaxy has moved on.
But it wasn't Romulan ale.
Romulan
it's been
ale
Romulan
is
ale for
fine.
Trillion
now it's Romulan whiskey. They've moved on to different distillery techniques.
It's fine.
Romulan
it's no
rum
apples.
And Coke. It's just bam.
Is that a craft?
Straight up bam.
Or
artisanal craft.
Anything else you want to bring up, or your closing thoughts? Anybody, go ahead, go.
I feel like I said, I came into it with low expectations, and now I just have expectations. So I'm definitely I'm not going to cancel my subscription and then pick it up in a month. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to watch them as they come out. I just realized I need to tell my dad that the subscription is back up so he can log on and watch it too, because I realized that he'll think it's just as funny as we do. I mean, even if he doesn't get every, you know, obscure joke, he'll really like that the guy, you know, likes the warp core and that Vulcan doesn't count as a...
It is a cool warp core.
When he was just like, I want to go to the warp core, my first thought was, ooh, I want to see what their warp core looks like.
See, now I was excited to see the bridge, which, I mean, they show, like, you still don't know 100% how it looks, but it is like you got to sort of have that encounter at far point, you know, bridge shot of the bridge there. So
yeah, I like the 90s styling. I feel like if they toned down some of the hit or miss jokes and the pace, if this is a pilot just showing us what they're aiming for. And, you know, we get some more calm and some more character development. And it doesn't need to be moralistic or anything, but just, you know, let the characters grow and stretch a little. I really think that it'll shape up to be a good show.
I got to touch a heart. Yeah.
It does have a heart.
No, I'm looking forward to the next 9 weeks.
I'm really looking forward to working with you.
And talking about it here. No, and I think, yeah, because I was a little worried, you know, again, yeah, what's that tone going to be like? I think that's what everyone's was worrying about or thinking about at least. But even just today, like this conversation amongst four Star Trek fans was hilarious and tons of fun. You know, did the show have to be a 10 and knock it out of the park? No, like it was enough to be funny and have interesting characters and set up some things that will hopefully pay off. You know, lots of references, which I think it's I like this hyper targeted TNG era Trek show, and I think I want to get more of it. And we got to have a cliffhanger of all cliffhangers at the end, guys.
I was just thinking that what we're talking about. How season one going to end? Just be like,
just Mr. Boimler, fire.
Here's your pip.
No, I'm going to a higher deck.
No. Think about, like, I like that point that we've got. It's so beautiful to have new Trek to talk about. I mean, so much has changed since the last time that we all got together and recorded something in 2015. Like, we couldn't have imagined that we would have three different Star Trek shows to talk about with, like, three more on the way.
Like, new Trek out again this year.
I don't think that it's
again.
It's going to be like the 90s where we had, you know, Next Generation and Deep Space Nine on at the same time and Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
Like, are they going to catch up? Well, we're not putting out 26 episodes a season, guys. This is where they put the brakes on.
It's an exciting time to be subscribed to CBS All Access, I guess. Sorry, foreign markets.
Womp, womp, womp.
Life finds a way, Drew.
Philip, I'm going to let you do your closing things, but since Darren brought it up and I get to, and I'm running the show right now, I just want to bring this up as well. They were having the conversation when the Orion lady first arrived, and she says, wow, you guys are commanders. And like, yeah, we want to be captains someday. And like, well, you, as a science officer, can be
chief medical officer.
That is not the top rank you can achieve as a science officer. Oh my God, people!
I mean, Daniel,
they really,
I think you're in denial.
They just Captain Spot.
They just
Captain Spot.
Anyways,
no. Like I said, I enjoy it. Look forward to more.
Nice and short, kind of like a 22-minute animated episode. All right, guys, that was a lot of fun. And we will be talking about this every week for the next 9 weeks.
With guests.
So, yeah, with guests like the fantastic Drew. Drew, thank you so much for coming on. And let people know, if you want to, where people can find you on the internet and chat with you.
I'm unfindable. No. you can still find me on Twitter at 005-DOUBLEOFIVE. And you can find me on also on Twitter at Star Wars VizComp. VizComp, where I've been sharing all the changes that George Lucas made to Star Wars over the years, and there are a lot more than you think.
True. should Star Wars release another version for fans? Do you have any thoughts about that?
No comment.
Okay.
You just broke it.
No. There's video of me being broken, and it's, you know, 2:00 in the morning, the night Disney Plus launched.
Oh, McClunky.
All right, Philip, if people want to get a hold of you on the internet, how would they find you? As well?
They can find me at NC Public Servant. Just speak into that horn and only speak the truth.
And Darren, what about you? If people, you know, lots of California mentions in this episode. Certainly you would be assigned to the USS Cerritos. So how and where would they find you on the ship?
Thanks for that vote of confidence.
How much flesh would you eat?
I don't know. They can find me on Twitter, Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi.
And if people want to get a hold of me, they can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in this is already my favorite animated series show of Star Trek.
Oh, no.
Take that, TOAS.
No.
Spock's cat cries in the corner.
We may see him. We don't know. So, all right, yeah. So that's it for this week on Set Alpha 3. I am Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
And I've been Drew Stewart.
Stranded here on Set Alpha 3.